All right, welcome back to the show. 9:25 in South Florida. Gorgeous Sunday morning, first day of November 2009. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic with you for about another half an hour or so up until 10 o'clock. And 9:25 in Florida means it's 6:25 out on the left coast in Sonoma wine country, where our next guest, our good buddy Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine, joins us as he is working for the Golf Channel this week at the Champions Tour Charles Schwab Cup, the final event of the senior tour season. Tim, good morning to you. Bright and early out there in wine country. Thanks for waking up early for us.
Hey, Russ. It's actually, it's really 7:20, not 6:20. So I got an hour on you, right? Like everybody else today.
Good point. We all got an extra hour of sleep last night as we fell back 1 hour, moving our clocks back. Tim, are you a wine connoisseur? There's so many wine connoisseurs in golf, whether they're PGA Tour players or Champions Tour players. Do you enjoy a Chardonnay or a Cabernet every now and then?
You know, I used to get these wicked sinus headaches from wine, so I was never really on board with this trendy thing that a lot of my friends and people are into, but some reason I'm able to handle a little bit better now, but a little bit, you know, I get into it a little bit. We this is a spot, but you know, quite honestly, this is I don't think I've had a sip of wine. Yeah, maybe like one sip of wine this week. I've been staying away from it because I'm just kind of solo and taking some room service, so I haven't really eaten out.
Hey, Tim, it's November 1st. Golf season, you know, not only is wine down, it's pretty much over, although there's still tournaments happening. How do you, as a writer, kind of stay up for golf tournaments and get enthusiastic about, you know, the Charles Schwab Cup or something that you're going to be covering for the next, you know, month and a half until golf really starts cranking up again, really in almost February until it happens. But as a golf writer, how do you maintain some enthusiasm for writing at this time of year?
I think it's there's plenty to going on, Pat. I would say self-preservation and, you know, wanting to keep working and staying alive in this day and age. But there is plenty going on. I'm sitting here watching Anthony Kim right now in the match play, and earlier I was watching Ian Bean Poulter win at the Singapore tournament. And you know, while we shut it down here, there's from a Golf Channel perspective, you know, televising the European Tour and staying on it, there's plenty going on with the HSBC coming up and the race to Dubai, and then the ladies have a couple events left. So, and then also at Golf World, we've only got two or three issues to go, but we're wrapping up. I'm already writing preview. I'm already writing year-end stuff for the Newsmaker story and an all-issue, and then also for the preview issue, which will come out before the year's over. We're heavily involved in producing that magazine as well. So, and then on top of that, we're day-to-day on the web. You know, last night I wrote, you can check golfworld.com. I was up late. Joey Sindelar had a blood clot in his lung yesterday. They had to take him off the golf course here.
So, oh, my God.
With the web, and I do two, you know, at least one, maybe two Tour Insider columns a week for golfworld.com. And we're pretty much, you know, it's not as intense as the first 4 months of the year leading up to the Masters or the rest of the season. But at the same time, it's, let's put it this way. I think I've been home in Jupiter the entire month of October. I will be home 5 days. I've been on the West Coast and running around and doing stuff, so. Staying quite busy, actually. It goes around the clock.
And you're going to be busy come December for Q School at Bear Lakes. Final round of Q School going on first week of December, and we're going to be there that Sunday broadcasting live from Bear Lakes Country Club. So looking forward to that as well. A lot of stuff
to
get to.
Russ, I'm looking. I mean, haven't been a member there in the 80s and 90s and still going back there probably 10 or 15 times a year. It'll be fun to go back. I've already volunteered or jumped in there on the assignment list for the Golf Channel, so it'll be cool to be doing TV there as well as covering it for Golf World. You know, going back with that club for 20 or 30 years, almost 30 years. I mean, you think the 80s, right? 25 years. To be able to broadcast the event, and they had quite a Q school last time. You know, that if you think about all the great Q schools, what happened in 01 was there was a lot of stuff going on there with Ty Tryon and Gary Nicklaus and Boo Weekly and Pat Perez and Roland Thatcher's ball up on the clubhouse roof, and Murph sending Kevin Murphy, the pro at the time, sending somebody up there to try and identify the ball. It was a lot going on, so looking forward to that Q school a lot.
Absolutely, as are Pat and I, so we can't wait for that week to come, first week of December at Bear Lakes Country Club. Tim, you mentioned the HSBC this coming week in China. It's now a WGC event, and scheduling-wise, this weekend's Viking Classic was going to be the tour event this week on the PGA Tour. Next week, WGC. I assume that's why Disney's not until 2 weeks. And we've got a cancellation because of weather in Mississippi. And I'm curious, Pat and I both agree, if Disney's not until 2 weeks, yes, PGA Tour is playing a WGC in China, but, you know, it's not unprecedented for the PGA Tour to have another event up against something else. Why outright canceling it and not trying to get it in next week?
Yeah, I haven't drilled down on that one, Russ, to tell you the truth. All I know is that there's a contract at Viking for the golf course there that expired on Tuesday. So if I was 126th on the money list, I'd really be making some phone calls on this and wanting to know exactly why I don't get another opportunity. The week open was, you know, that HSBC, well, it's sanctioned by the PGA Tour. It's not an official event per se. It is more of a European Tour official event. The PGA Tour jumped in and co-sanctioned it as part of the International Federation of Tours. And thus you see some pretty active participation with Tiger and Phil being down there. But the week open on the schedule was as a result of they were trying to get a fall series event at Sea Island. They had kept that open, or it was open. Remember, there were two Fry's events last year, I believe. And they couldn't put it together at Sea Island. They thought they had a sponsor and they were going to do it, and they didn't. So that's why the open week. It does make sense that they would figure out a way to play that Viking anywhere, you know, just to find a spot for these guys. But I guess that's just basically one of those rubber to green deals. You know, you're going to have one less week to try and keep your card this year, basically.
Tim, I know they canceled Pebble Beach. When was it?
96.
96. I know they canceled quote unquote big events, but in this day and age, with you know the TV and internet and everything else, I sort of agree. You know, I think you agree with that. They should try to find a way to play this. If this wasn't a fall series event, do you think they would have figured out a way to play this?
You know, you could make the argument, Pat, that it's even more important than a regular event just because of what we just talked about, the cards and everything. And again, I haven't made a call to the tour, so you know the insider's a little outside on this one right now, to tell you the truth. But you know, it does make I don't know if it makes logistical sense, but it makes sense from the standpoint of necessity to hold this tournament so some of these guys can keep their cards and keep their jobs going next year. But you know, you can look at it the other way, and a lot of people look at the fall series like, who cares? And you know, it's not that big a deal, et cetera. So, but I, being involved in a game of golf, I could see the necessity for it. And I don't know the reasons why exactly Viking wouldn't want to get a little bit more bang for their buck, because this is their last year. This is one of the fall series events that is going away. So they've ostensibly played the last Viking Classic we're ever going to see.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and we're joined on the line by Tim Rosefort, Golf World senior writer, also does a lot of work with NBC as well as Golf Channel, working for Golf Channel this week out in Sonoma for the Champions Tour Charles Schwab Cup, and leaderboard out there, John Cook looks like he's going to take its 6-stroke lead over Russ Cochran going into today's final round. Tim, going back a couple of weeks, President's Cup out in San Francisco at Harding Park. I know you wrote some stuff for Golf World, really impressed with Phil Mickelson. I'm really impressed with American team golf here last couple of years. Last year, that huge victory over Europe at Valhalla, and now this year continuing their phenomenal string in President's Cup golf. Now 6 victories for the Americans and 8 playings of the President's Cup.
Well, definitely on a roll. We can thank Captain Nicklaus for sort of starting the trend. You go back Ryder and President's Cups, this is 3 straight 5-point wins for the team that looks so looked so awful there. For if you think about the Hal Sutton Ryder Cup and also the Ryder Cup in Ireland at the K Club, but they're onto something now, and they've banded together, and Mickelson and Tiger have reached that stage where they've embraced the event more. Mickelson's almost 40 years old. He's heading into that era when he's going to be considered a captain someday, and he really stepped up. And Tiger is a silent leader, and you know, there's a lot going on. I think the for good for the U.S. team that wasn't existing before. And as Mickelson pointed out, the X factor is Steve Stricker and how he's really stepped up and become clearly the number three player and a guy who can pair with Tiger and not be intimidated or not be put off his game as a result of being playing with Tiger. And so it's a lot of pressure on Corey Pavin because he's following three dynamic leaders in Jack and Freddie Couples and Paul Azinger at the Ryder Cup. So, you know, we kind of look at this. I look at it now as it's just one big cup after cup. You know, you're almost going to look at I separate them, obviously, Presidents and Ryder Cups. But I look at it as sort of the succession as it relates to the United States because they do it every year, different from the Europe team and also, obviously, from the international squad that Greg Norman just captained.
That Rick or Tim, that was kind of one of my wacky theories is that because Tiger didn't play in the Ryder Cup last year, didn't play in, you know, for half the year, he actually came into this Ryder Cup or this President's Cup kind of like fresh and actually wanting to play in the thing as opposed to, you know, just showing up. Not just showing up, because I know Tiger gives his effort every time he plays, but nonetheless, like you're saying, because the U.S. plays in these every year, and the Europes and the internationals play every other year, that maybe it's not as a quote-unquote special event for the Americans, because they do it every year, but Tiger not playing last year and not playing for half the year last year comes into it fresh. Phil not playing that much at all this whole summer dealing with his wife and mother, you know, playing good at the end of the year, which is unusual for Phil. Do you think this is like a sort of a one or two time year thing, and then maybe we'll get back into the malaise of playing every year again? Or do you think the Americans have finally, like you're saying, maybe embraced this concept and really want to try and win these things every time?
Well, no doubt Tiger was fresher this year and more into it. And also, I mean, let's face it, he was in San Fran and with Freddie and Michael Jordan was there. So a little bit different. You know, it's easier to be more upbeat there than, say, in Wales next fall where it's going to be cold and, you know, Michael Jordan isn't going to be around and it's going to be a different part of the world. But in Mickelson's estimation, what's really helped the United States in this is actually the FedEx Cup and having guys, you think they'd be burned out and tired by the time they get to the Cup, but at least for Mickelson, and he's obviously an important part of it, he stays more competitively sharp as a result of playing right through the Tour Championship, having 1 week off, and then going to roll it out for one more week. So there's kind of two factors. You're actually right. They were fresher. Tiger was fresher anyway from missing a year, maybe missing it a little bit, not being there with the guys at Valhalla. And then secondly, being more competitively in tune because of the FedEx Cup. So you got the two factors working in favor of the guys now and the U.S. captains. Hopefully Pavin can feed off of that as well. And you know, I'm sitting here in another side of the world from you guys. I'm watching Anthony Kim play Ross Fisher in the match play. And interesting subject point, obviously, Anthony. But, you know, another example going back to what we talked about earlier, Pat, about, you know, golf never stops. And just because they stop in the U.S., you got a TV with some cable nowadays and you love golf, you get plenty of golf you know, around the clock, like I say, right up through Tiger's tournament, basically.
Yeah, Tim, how ironic for the golfing world to see a semifinal matchup between Robert Allenby and Anthony Kim a couple weeks removed from their kind of brush-up at the President's Cup.
Yeah, our local guy, Robert, who lives up at Admiral's Cove up in Jupiter, and you see him around town every once in a while, and a guy who is outspoken and never afraid to voice his opinion and might have let his mouth run a little bit ahead of his brain on that one, but you know, made some accusations about Anthony, and Anthony took him out hard yesterday again. It was 5-3 at the President's Cup. But anyway, it was 5-something in both cases, and Anthony stuffed him, and now he's in the final here. He missed about a 2-foot putt. I'm trying to get the score because I don't have the computer on. I haven't flashed it, but Anthony, an interesting newsmaker and subject, obviously, in 2009, not performing as well as he did the year before. And then, although he played well in the President's Cup, it was really more about stories about him going on behind the scenes than it was what he was doing on a golf course at Harding Park.
Last thing for you, Tim. Does he need to clean up his act? Is he in danger of becoming another John Daly? Or is he okay and just, you know, partying just a little bit on the side?
Man, I don't know. He's 24 years old. He's got a lot of money. You know, he's got a I think he's got to throttle back a little bit, but, you know, we'll see. He's saying you're the next John Daly is saying a lot. That's a lot to live up to, let's put it that way. And he's only 24 years old, so hopefully he can clean it up just a little bit. And because he's got so much potential and charisma, and he speaks to the whole, you know, the whole Asian thing as it relates to golf expanding, and he is young. You know, he could really be more of a role model, I think. So let's see what happens this offseason, and whether he can get through this match with Fisher, and what that says about, you know, how into it or not into it he really was.
Ross Fisher been all over the place this year, came close there at the British Open, and again playing good golf here at the Match Play. He is our good friend Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine, all over the place, whether it's NBC or Golf Channel. And Tim, continue the great work today. Final round out in Sonoma at the Charles Schwab Cup. Thanks for the time, as always. We will see you. We'll definitely see you first week of December at Bear Lakes. Hopefully we see you before that.
Hopefully see you before that, and hopefully we see John Cook with a victory today, because he's my boy, and, you know, thus far, it's been a cookie monster of a week out here in Halloween week at Sonoma's, tearing his place up. He got a 6-shot lead, and I don't think he has to worry about Tom Watson today anyway, but that would be a nice finish for John in his year.
Cookies, you know, he plays a lot of golf there at Isleworth with Tiger. Probably looks at playing on the Champions Tour as kind of easy golf compared to being needled by Tiger every hole at Isleworth. So I think he probably does get it done today. Thanks, Tim, as always.
Thanks, Russ. See you, Pat.
See you, Tim.
There he is, Tim Rosefort, senior writer for Golf World Magazine, doing a great job. And he'll be on the inside of this Viking Classic story by tomorrow, I assure you that. But he's got other fish to fry out there currently with the Champions Tour.
I think of all the guests we have on, Russ, especially recurring, Tim's my favorite. Because Tim comes with the info. He gives you something. If he doesn't know something, he will find out, like you're saying.
Right.
I'm sure we will get the insider scoop on this thing. But Tim's one of those guys, like I say, gets it. He understands what the role is, and we're looking for a little information, and Tim always comes up with something good.
All right, we're coming right back. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.